Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast again today. We're continuing to share with you on the subject of deliverance. Deliverance is a very important subject to you to understand. It is certainly a controversial subject in the body of Christ. The reason is because of a lack of understanding of the truth. And this is because people have never dealt with this area. They have not realized the fact that we can have demonic spirits in us that must be cast out. Well, Jesus realized that. That's why in Mark 16:17, in the Great Commission, he said, and this is the first sign following having gotten saved and being born again and baptized. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." This is all believers. "In my name they shall cast out demons." Well, every single believer is supposed to do it. Why haven't we done it? Because we haven't been taught the truth about this. And if we were taught the truth, we'd all be casting out demonic spirits. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, who do you cast them out of? There's only two different groups of people. There's unbelievers and believers. Would you cast them out of unbelievers? No. They don't have a covenant with God, and furthermore, they won't walk in line with the Word of God, and will they be able to retain their deliverance? No. They'll let the problems come back in, and they'll even be in a worse shape. Well, then who's deliverance for? It's for Christians. Why? Because they have a covenant with God. Why? All else, because they can walk in line with the Word and retain their deliverance. Now, why do Christians need deliverance? Because they have demonic spirits in them. They need deliverance from demonic spirits affecting their soul and their body. They must be cast out. Remember, a Christian is not totally possessed or dominated or owned or controlled by demons. We're not saying that. No, the Word doesn't say that. The Word declares that we belong to Jesus Christ. We're bought with a price. And our spirit is to realize that's where God is dwelling, in our spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we receive Him, He's dwelling in our spirit. But in our soul, which is the will, intellect, emotions, in our physical body, we know we have problems. We can have sickness, we can have poverty, we can have all kinds of oppression, we can have suicide thoughts, we can have all types of depression that affects us, we can have negative things going on, from allergies to diabetes to cancer to heart problems, all kinds of things going on in our body. Now, all these negative things are from the devil. We know that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What was the problem? Oppression of the devil. How was he doing it? Through the demonic spirits. And they need to be cast out. What did Jesus do in order to liberate the people from the oppression of the devil? He cast out the spirits, cast out the blind spirits to see the blind see, the deaf spirits and they heard, the dumb spirits and they spake, the epileptic spirits and the guy was free. He cast out the spirits out of the guy's mind and he was in his right mind. These spirits are causing the problems in our life. Life is spiritual. It's amazing why sometimes people have a hard time to believe this. They seem to think that, well, if I'm a Christian, there's no way that I could have any demonic spirits in me. They could not cohabit the same temple. Well, we've covered this, but this is worthwhile bringing up to you again. Remember that the Old Testament temple had three parts. The Holy of Holies, Holy Place, and Outer Court. God was dwelling in the Holy of Holies, not in the Holy Place or the Outer Court. The physical inhabitants carrying on sinful activities were in either the Holy Place or Outer Court. Jesus came in and cast them out. Here's a case where God's in one location in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, and yet evil inhabitants carrying on sinful activities are in another location, yet all inside the temple. Well, we're made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body, and the Old Testament temple is a type of the New Testament temple, which we are. The Holy of Holies is likened to our spirit, where God dwells. Holy Place likened to our soul. The Outer Court likened to our physical body. God's in our spirit, yet demons can be in the soul and the body. That's the physical inhabitants, spiritual inhabitants carrying on sinful activities. They must be cast out for us to be liberated and be set free. Now we've talked about why we need to pursue deliverance. We've talked about how the demons can come in and enter. It's through sin from primarily three means, through the inheritance line from the sins and iniquities of the forefathers, through us being a victim of sin, of things that happened and occurred in our life. It could be a conception in the womb or during childhood or through abuse or things that occurred in our life. Or the third area, through our own sin, where we can open up the door and let spirits come in when we give place to the devil. Now, we've talked about the fact that we have authority over the enemy. We've talked about attitudes while casting out the demonic spirits. And we're really going to get into this area more of authority. We talked about that we have authority to cast out demonic spirits in the last broadcast. This is because we have been legally delivered from Satan's power. Colossians 1:13, God has delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This shows the fact that legally we have been delivered from the authority of the enemy, and we have been translated into the kingdom. That's the rule and the reign of God. Now remember, this is a legal declaration in the Word of what God has already done for us nearly 2,000 years ago. That doesn't mean that we can't be affected adversely by the enemy today. Obviously we can, because sickness and disease is of the devil, fear is of the devil, poverty is of the devil, oppression in the minds of the devil. All these things are coming from the enemy. Now, do we have authority to do something about it? Yes. And now what do? We take, because of what Jesus has done, the legal aspect of our redemption, because of that, we have been given the authority. Now we can experientially take the authority we've been given and use it to drive out the demonic spirits and eliminate the enemies in our life. Remember that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And God has given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is in Luke 10:19. So it's important to understand that. Now there's two levels of spiritual warfare, really, that a Christian's dealing with. There's the ground level warfare, which is deliverance, casting the spirits out of the people. And then there is a heavenly warfare as such, dealing in the heavenlies through warfare, intercession, and casting down the spirits, which gets rid of the spirits in the heavenlies, the principalities and powers. And then remember, they got their position because of the sins of the people that left the demonic strongholds or the satanic strongholds in the heavenlies. But that's also how the demonic spirits got into the people, through the demons. And it's important to understand that strongholds over cities or over a particular locale, they've gotten there because of the sins of the people primarily. That's why if the people repent, confess their sins, you cast the spirits out of the people, then that is going to weaken the satanic strongholds in the heavenlies. This is why the devil fights deliverance so much. He doesn't want to get the body of Christ to get delivered. He knows if the body of Christ gets delivered from the demonic spirits, they'll be free from his influence in their life, but also it will affect the heavenlies and the spiritual atmosphere over a particular locale or over a city. And this is very important. Jesus really implied this and showed this in Luke 10 when the 70 came back and said, "The devils were subject to us through thy name." And then the next verse, he said he beheld or saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. They were reporting, casting him out of the people. Jesus said, "I saw him falling from the heavens." And this is referring to the fact that when you cast the spirits out of people, it also will be driving them out and pulling them down from their areas of dominion in the heavenlies as well. Now let's talk specifically about the area of authority today and how to cast them out. There really are seven basic operations of authority. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm going to take authority over the devil." Well, that sounds good, but that's not going to solve our problem. There's seven basic ways, and this is casting out, which is casting the demons out of people, casting down, which casts them down from the heavenlies, binding them, which ties them up, loosing, which unties from their hold, speaking to a mountain, just to speak it, to command it to be removed, resisting, which is what you do so you don't let any spirits back in. You resist the devil to keep him from you so he'll flee from you, and remitting sins, which is sending forth the effect of someone's sins, which is what you do to break a curse, because the effect of the sin is a curse, and we have authority to remit or send forth the effect of the sin. And this is important that we do this. If we're going to cast out these spirits, we've got to know our authority. We're going to have to bind the demons in and around us. Matthew 12:29 says, "You bind the strong man and then you spoil his house." Praise God. Then we're going to loose or untie the hold of demons. Remember, the woman had the spirit of infirmity in Luke 13. Jesus saw her, that she had the spirit of infirmity that had her bowed over those 18 years. He loosed her from the spirit of infirmity and then laid his hands upon her. He untied the hold of that spirit, and then he ministered healing to her, and she was set free. Another thing that we're going to do with our authority is we're going to break the curses, which is the effect of sins. Because of the sins of the forefathers, inherited generational curses, what can we do about it? God has given us authority to remit the sins and the iniquities of the forefathers in all preceding generations influencing our life. The Bible says in John 20:23, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. The word remit means to send forth. You and I can send forth the effect of sins. And there's a scripture over in Luke chapter 5, where in verse 20 to 24, the man who had the palsy, the first thing that Jesus said to him is, man, your sins are forgiven you. The word forgiven is not New Testament forgiveness, because Jesus had not been to the cross yet. This is not a cleansing forgiveness. This is before he went to the cross. This is what this word forgiven means, is a Greek word aphiemi, meaning to send forth. He said, your sins are sent forth from you. That's why the people got so bent out of shape. They got mad. Said, who is this but God alone that could send forth the effect of sin? Same word throughout there. He said later on that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive, or same word, aphiemi, to send forth sins. Whichever is easier, rise up and take the bed and walk, or to submit or to remit those sins and send them forth. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And the key thing was, he remitted or sent forth the effect of the sins that broke the curse that was upon him, and so that the man then could be healed. So this is another area of authority, learning to remit and send forth the sins, the effect of sins in our life, after we've confessed them, of course, as well as the sins and iniquities of the forefathers in the preceding generations that have influenced our life. Another operation of authority, of course, is casting out the demons, having bound them and untied their hold and broken the curses and confessed our sins. We cast out the demonic spirits and command them to come out in the name of Jesus. And you do this continuously. Actually, when you look up the scriptures, there's five places in the New Testament where, in casting out the spirits the way Jesus said it, it is in the present tense. The present tense denotes continuous, repeated action. And this is what Jesus was doing. He was continually speaking and casting out those spirits. A lot of people think he just said it one time, but if you look up the Greek, he said it more than once. And as he ministered the authority, it drove the demons out, and the person was set free. There's one case there where the man tore, or the demons were tearing at him and rending him sore before they came out. But Jesus was saying, and that's in the present tense, continually, repeatedly saying for the spirits to come out, and then they left, and the person was delivered. See, we got to get in steady to see the truth and understand what Jesus did, and he wants us to do the same things today so that we can be delivered from all demonic activity in our life and experience the promises of God. We're going to talk more on this next broadcast. We'll see you then. God bless you. As I close today, do you have needs in your life? If so, we have a healing, deliverance, and counseling center to minister to your needs. We've seen the Lord set people free from anger, fear, anxiety, emotional and mental problems, as well as poverty and loss of prosperity and addictive problems such as nicotine, alcohol, drugs, and gluttony. The Lord will deliver you from all of these problems. If you would like to receive personal ministry, please call 268-WORD. That's 268-9673. And now, until I greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a doer of the Word of God.